The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus tells a parable about his second coming, indicating that it is not sufficient merely to maintain things as they are. Those who await his return should make good use of the gifts that God has provided them. I begin reading at verse 14. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with him and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come to the end of the church year, and we are near the end of the church year right now, next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. And then the Sunday after that, on the 30th, is the first Sunday in Advent. It begins a new church year for us. But as we come to the end of the church year, the readings in the lectionary tend to focus upon the second coming of Christ or upon the day of the Lord. And our lessons for today certainly do indicate that. In the Old Testament lesson, there is talk of war and destruction and the day of the Lord, that God is coming with wrath. And it's not a very pretty picture. It's very bleak sounding in that text of the day of the Lord coming. And also in the gospel lesson, Jesus tells this parable of the master who goes away, and he gives his servants some talents or money, possessions to take care of and see what they do with those. And after a long time, he comes back. It's a parable about Jesus returning one day to this earth once again. But today I'd like to focus on that second lesson, that first lesson to Thessalonians that Paul writes. And that too very much speaks about the end times, about Christ coming again. But he paints an intriguing picture, one that's maybe even a little bit disturbing. He describes Christ coming back again as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. I don't know if any of you have ever had your homes broken into. A thief come in and steal. It happened to us when I was probably about in junior high. Our family, there was a ring of thieves that were working the area. They would break into some of the rural homes. They'd watch the homes and make sure that nobody was around, and they'd break into those homes and they'd clean them out. And it happened to us. I can vividly still remember our front door with a big boot print right next to the doorknob where they had kicked the front door in. And I remember the hole in the wall in the sheetrock where that door had slammed so hard that it pushed a hole into the wall. They came into our house, and I don't remember a whole lot of things that they stole. We weren't a wealthy family, but the two things I do remember that they took is they took our family TV, our only TV at that time, and they also took a radio out of my room. Now, that was just stuff, and that could be easily replaced, and as a matter of fact, the congregation was very generous with us. They took up a collection and bought us a new TV, a brand new color TV, which was very nice for us. But the devastation really comes when you think that you had strangers uninvited in your house with such violence to kick in the front door, to go through all your personal items looking for things of value, through all the intimacy of your home, to raid through it. The home is supposed to be a private and secure place, a place of love, a place of security. And it was violated. Somebody else was there, rooting around, disturbing everything. For some people, it's very unnerving. And I particularly think when, maybe as that lesson was saying, as Paul was saying, a thief in the night comes when you're actually still at home. And you don't realize that somebody else is in your house. And that if you do realize it and you wake up, that they are prepared to do violence to you, to have your things uprooted and changed and moved around and taken away from you. For many people, or for some people, it's so disturbing that after they've been robbed in the middle of the night, they can't stay in their house anymore. They eventually just simply sell their house and change locations. St. Paul gives that picture of Jesus coming as a thief in the night. And it is somewhat disturbing, and I just got to thinking about that. Why is Paul talking in that way? And as far as my reading and different things, that possibly the Thessalonians were overly concerned with the coming back of Jesus, and they were always asking, when is he coming back? And I think maybe Paul realized that, and he realized then too that they're missing the point. The important point is not when Christ is coming back, because we don't know the day or the hour. The important point is that Christ is coming back. And it doesn't matter when he's coming back, because we should live each and every day as if he's coming today or coming tomorrow, coming very soon. That's the way we are to live our lives. And I think Paul uses this imagery of the thief in the night is to let us know that we need to be prepared, that our lives, our hearts, our souls need to be prepared for that coming of Christ. You know, people are so unnerved a lot of times about thinking about a thief coming and taking their things that they go to all lengths and measures to prepare their house in case of that event. Some people go out and they buy guns and ammunition. Other people may build a fence or a wall around their house. Some people put up bright lights, security lights. Others put up motion detectors and sound devices, buzzers or alarms. People put double locks, triple locks on their doors. They put bars on their windows. They may get guard dogs to take care of their house. One of the interesting things I did read a couple of years ago was that actually better than dogs, are geese. Geese are much more attentive. They wake up much quicker, and they make a lot of noise. Even reading in that article that some of the military bases were even experimenting with geese to protect the perimeters of their base. People go to all lengths to protect their possessions. And I think what Paul is telling us then too is that we should go to all lengths to have that zeal, to have that excitement, to have that initiative to prepare our lives to be ready for that day when Christ comes again. And that every day we should be ready. He says, stay awake, do not sleep. That doesn't mean that we don't get a good night's sleep, but it means that we should prepare our hearts and our minds through everything that we do, whether we're working, whether we're playing, whether we're just enjoying family, whatever we do, we should be prepared for that coming of Jesus Christ. The comparison between the thief in the night and Christ is there are some similarities in there, is that he says it will be silent, that it will be invasive when Christ comes again. Everyone will know it. Be intrusive into your life. You can't escape it. And it will also be life-changing. I think as we prepare for the second coming of Christ, it's not only to get ready for that time, but that life-changing event has already happened to us. That he calls the Christians there the children of the day. And you need not worry about the thief in the night or that feeling of being violated as a thief does to a person. But rather, we should welcome Christ into our homes. And it will be more like the feeling of welcoming an old friend into your home. Or welcoming that relative that you just love to see to come in to your house. And that's how we will feel when Christ comes again. That we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about. We simply get ready. We prepare for that day when Christ is coming again. In many ways, it is like a thief in the night, but we welcome Christ into our hearts. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.